May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. These powerful words help us to grapple with the divinity of Jesus and the whole concept of the Trinity. Jesus, light of the world, entering our darkness. God choosing to enter humanity. God who spoke creation into being, whose power began in the word spoken, revealed in the word, now chooses to be revealed anew in human flesh. To understand who Jesus is, we need to go back to the beginning, to creation. God speaks and it happens, from chaos to creation. Just as our word embodies our thoughts, but then as our words leave us, they become somehow separate from us. So John explained that the word is with God and the word is God. John uses the term logos, the word, not the Greek term lexica, which just refers to words. This is about more than just words. It's about wisdom and logic, knowledge and reason and revelation. And all that was readily accepted by the community that John was addressing. It was part of the Jewish wisdom literature. Even Stoics believed that the Logos was a foundation principle of creation. This was not radical. It was nothing new. Logos and light in the darkness were not new concepts for John's audience. But then John takes it a step further. In verse 14, John kind of shatters all that has led up to that. In verse 14, we read those amazing words that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Extraordinary words that through Jesus we see the glory of God. Out of the incarnation, we receive God's grace. In Jesus, God is made known. Known in a personally relational sense, not in some head knowledge only way. The whole point of Logos had been that it's a divine attribute, an eternal divine quality. And here John is saying that the Logos is made flesh. And for John, that's the lens by which we need to read his whole gospel. Because you see, when we read that God became flesh and dwelt among us, another way of reading it is to say God made his home with, or even closer to the meaning, God pitched his tent with us, or tabernacled, which was taking the audience back to the Exodus, reminding them of the times when they had to keep moving on through the wilderness, but God was promising to be with them as they journeyed. This is not a reference to God being a temporary guest in their lives. This is God wanting an ongoing and intimate relationship with us through the wilderness of our life. Jesus dwelling among us, tabernacling with us, becoming the place where God and humanity are united. John is going to unpack it more later in his gospel when he talks about us abiding in Jesus. But today I invite us to reflect on the Word becoming flesh, not only through Jesus at Bethlehem, but also through us, as we become reconnected to God in Christ. As we begin a new year, it's an opportune time to reflect on how the Word might become flesh in us even more this year. How will we flesh out God's presence? What might that mean practically for each one of us if we're serious about following Jesus, the Word made flesh? This is the time of year when we generally start to reflect on what has been and we look to what might be. We reflect on how we have been and how we might be. We have some time to ponder. But what if we take that a bit further? Not just that we want to do more exercise, eat more healthily, spend more time with family and friends, as important as all those might be, but to ask how the Word might become flesh in us more this year. What would that look like? In the beginning of this new year, how will the Word become flesh? What might that involve for each one of us? And then I asked myself that question in light of our passage from John 1. There was this other question that was forming in my mind, that for the Word to become flesh in my life, what needs to be lost. Because for Jesus, in order to enter our humanity, he had to in some way let go of heaven, to let go of glory in order that we might see God's glory. Jesus chose to take on humility and humanity, so he took on the limits of this world. What might that mean for us? For us to let the word be made flesh in us, perhaps we too will be asked to give up something in order to fully enter into humility and our full humanity. In Jesus, grace is enfleshed. So what does it mean for us to embody grace rather than just talk about it? When the rest of the community move on from Christmas, how are we going to carry Christmas with us? And before I finish, let me briefly turn to Jeremiah. A text I read and I see in my mind that image being shared of the well-watered garden. And as the sun shines and the rain lessens here in our Kiwi summer, we know that a well-watered garden takes effort. To get to the place Jeremiah speaks of, where the grain, the new wine and the olive oil is bountiful, where the flocks are robust, to get to that place of that well-watered garden where we find joy amid sorrow, where we can dance and give comfort and give generously to the faith community, that involves choices around how we will live, how we will gather, how we will praise and love and serve. So I'm left with loads of questions. Questions that will take time and thought and prayer for each of us to answer. But I thought that was a task that we should all be starting, at least today. So instead of preaching anymore, I'm going to lead us in prayer, and we're then going to go into some time of silence. There'll be a bit of music and then some silence. Some people are fine with silence, others less so. Some like to just let their minds and hearts wander. Others prefer some structure. So in your order of service is what I've titled a doodle spot, which is for those of you, like me, who prefer some structure to your silence when seeking God. Anyway, that's your warning for when the words cease, but for now, let us pray. The candles are burnt low, and already we're nearing the end of the Christmas season. A new year has already begun, and we're starting to dream of new beginnings. So here in this sacred space, Lord, enter our dreaming. Be part of our slower pace as we reflect and regenerate. Last year was hard, God, and we struggled. We wept and we argued and we worried. But we also laughed and we pondered and we got excited. It's been such a mix of a year. Sometimes giving thanks has been difficult. Sometimes it's been tinged with guilt, for so many have done it harder than us. But here we are, Lord. Despite all that has passed, we're here at this cusp of a new year, in this time of opportunity, time to reset, time to decide we're going to do things differently this year. And as we decide on what we're going to work at, we ask you to be part of it. In the silence, we want to ask you to speak to us. Let us know what you want from us this year, Lord. Tell us the changes you want to make in us. Tell us something of the tasks you're setting before us. Please speak to each one of us in the quiet. A song called Seasons of Love from the musical Rent, and then that will lead us into a time of silence. We'll have about 4 or 5 minutes, so a decent chunk of time, and it will probably feel like a decent chunk of time in the quiet. So let's enjoy. I think we've got the music. Margaret, do you have the music? No.